Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale resides in the state of Alabama, where the main character and his cousins and a group of friends go camping in an RV when all hell breaks loose. And this anonymous author tells us of his encounter with a real-life goat man. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Anansi's Goatman Story. Here's my story. Be 16. Be black and have family down in Alabama. They farm and own a huge amount of land in Huntsville. Uncle owns a big house and a bunch of trailers they put out in the woods for hunting or camping. Down south, cousins suggest that we go out there to camp. Now I'm a city kid from Chicago, so they tease the F out of me. Collect food, kill a pig and some chickens, and bring necessities to camp out for a few days. We get to the camp and it's obvious something is weird. Air has this weird electric smell like right before a storm, like ozone. We think nothing of it and unpack and go down to the little creek to swim for a few hours. All of a sudden, some older white guy and a white teenager come out of the bushes. He has a shotgun in the crook of his arm and says hello and asks us what we're doing this far back in the woods. Tell him about my uncle, who he knows, and say we're camping out. He tells us we need to be real careful out here and stick together. There is a big animal in the woods. His son, who is my age, asks if he could stay and hang out with us. He says okay. I'm going to stop green texting because the story is fairly long and the format is harder to write in. So, we end up playing football. Dicking around with me, there's the white kid, Tanner, five of my cousins, and then four of their friends. In total, there were five girls and six boys. We were all around 15 through 17. We ended up just dicking the day away. So, we head back to the camp and pulling out some stuff for the campfire. Even though the trailers both had kitchenettes. Tanner says that his family's property sits up against my uncle's. He wants to run home and ask his dad if he could come out camping with us. My cousin Rooster says he's going to go with him since it's going to be dark soon. One of the girls also wants to tag along. It's about 7 o'clock, and it's starting to get pretty dark. They take flashlights and take the trail back towards Tan's property. The rest of us chill. We make s'mores, drink, and kiss on the girls. About 30 or 40 minutes later, there's the smell of ozone again. You could smell it over the smell of the fire we had started. This really nasty, coppery smell, like right after you had a nosebleed and it stopped. It wasn't exactly like dried blood, but it was that nasty, metallic, back-of-your-throat smell. We immediately think that it's some kind of electrical malfunction, or someone left a hot plate on or some crap. We search the trailers, and nothing is on, and we could all smell it. All of a sudden, we could hear people booking down the path towards us, and Rooster, Tan, and the girl all come running into the clearing out of breath. And they don't even break stride. They all run into the trailer right by where the fire is. We all got the F out of there and into the trailers. They ended up calming down. Even Rooster is crying his effing eyes out at this point. All the while, the fire is guttering lower and lower. So my other cousins say F it and are about to go outside to get the generator out of the shed between the trailers. Tanner goes, F no! Lock the front door! Ain't nobody else going outside! He's been crying too, and his eyes are bloodshot and puffy and his pants are dirty as hell. He goes on to tell us that they went up to his house. His father said sure, he could go out camping, but to make sure he was careful on the way back, and that maybe they should take one of the hunting rifles just in case. Evidently, Tanner had seen something in their yard a few days before. One of their pigs had come up, ripped up and half-eaten. They assumed it was some big cats or coyotes, even though they didn't usually F with live animals. He had gone upstairs and packed his stuff, and told his dad they would be okay without the rifle because coyotes avoid people. So they started walking back towards where we were camping. So, Rooster finally stops crying and shaking. The girl already had, but she was just staring out the window with a dumb look on her face. He said they had gotten halfway into the woods towards the camp when they started to hear crap in the forest. It was almost pitch black by this time, so they weren't sure at first what the F it was. The girl says she had heard something in the bushes right off the trail, and they all beamed their flashlights over there, and there was someone standing in the woods in a little hollow. Rooster said that he shouted at him, and told him that he was scaring the F out of them and what a dick he was. He says that's when he realized that the guy was facing away from them. So they keep walking, and they start smelling that nasty coppery ozone smell. They say that they took off into the forest on the opposite side, and it's a dude standing in the forest, backwards, slightly closer to the path. So now they start power walking, and Tan keeps going, I should have taken the effing rifle. As they're telling the story, the smell is still super strong even inside. They say that after they started walking faster, a kind of low gibbering had started coming from both sides of the woods. And it's as they started booking it back to the trailer, the girl said that she had flashed her flashlight out into the woods to the side of them and had seen something jerking itself through the woods. The gibbering just got louder and louder, and when they could see the light from our campfire, something had came out of the woods about 40 yards behind them onto the track, and they had just flat out ran as fast as they could towards the trailer. So, we're out in the effing woods, and we're assuming at this point it's some rednecks or some crap trying to F with us. All of a sudden, my other cousin, Junior, starts going on about how he went to school with a native kid that was telling him about the goat man or some shit. We promptly tell him to shut up because we didn't need any spooky talk right now. But he keeps going on and on about how it's the effing goat man and how we're in his woods and blah blah blah. Now at the time, I had never heard of this goat man or any of that. But then a couple of years ago, the year before I graduated from college, I had a menom of a roommate, and I ended up asking him about it. And to sum it up, it basically is a frickin' man with the head of a goat, and he can shapeshift and he gets amongst groups of people to terrorize them. It's also supposed to be kinda like a Wendigo, and it's bad mojo to even talk about it, and even worse if you see it. Keep in mind, I don't know this back when I was 16. So my cousin is going, the goat man's going to get in and effing get us. The girls are all terrified, and my cousins and I are all frickin' trying to figure out if it's just some hillbillies or some kind of animal. So all of a sudden, the smell just goes away. Like to this day, I haven't even experienced anything like it. Like usually smells fade away or lessen. It just literally was there 1 second and then not the second. So, it's after an hour, making it around 9 or 10. We stop shitting bricks enough to go back outside and stoke the fire again. We figured it was just some a-holes trying to F with us. So we didn't go back home, because we think if we did, they'll chase us through the woods or some crazy crap. Nothing else weird happens that night, and we stay another night, and for the main part of the night, nothing happens. At about 1 a.m. in the morning, we're outside getting drunk and telling ghost stories. As someone is telling some spooky story, I don't remember what about, the smell comes back. It's so frickin' strong that one of the girls literally starts vomiting. I stand up, and you could actually feel how clammy the air is. I say we should get inside and that it isn't right. We should have just frickin' left. We all go back inside, and we're standing around. My cousin just keeps going on about how it's the goat man, and my cousin Rooster tries to shut him up, and all the while I'm just feeling that something is wrong, and I can't figure out what the F it is. We end up sitting in there for a while. The smell is just as strong, and we're terrified and all huddled in this camper. We end up cooking brats for everyone because nobody wanted to go outside. It's one of those packs with four brats. We have a total of three packs. I grilled them up on the stove and gave everybody a hot dog. I get mine. After a while, one of my cousins gets up and goes over to the pot to get another one. He starts grumbling about how I got two brats and everybody else only got one. And I looked at him like he's frickin' stupid. I told him that everybody only got one because there's only 12 brats. If he wants more, he should open up a new pack and cook some more. That's when the girl that had been out with Rooster and Tan just starts screaming.
Oh Jesus! Oh Lord! Get it out!
She's crying and shivering, and then it dawns on the cousins standing up what the F is wrong. Me and him both glance around the room, and then I feel my heart frickin' sink. I run the F out of the trailer and the girls running out with us. The trailer door is banging against the side of the trailer as everybody books out of the cabin. One of my cousin friends asks us what the F is wrong. I start counting us. There's only 11 now. I shit you not, my cousin verified. There had been 12 people in the cabin. But being that everybody didn't really know each other well, nobody had really noticed the whole frickin' time that there was an extra person. And then I realized earlier that I kind of noticed something was off. You know how when you're just dicking around and having a good time that you don't sweat the smallest shit, and you don't always keep track of certain stuff? I'm dead sure that someone else had been in that trailer with us, and that they had been there for at least a frickin' day eating with us. What makes it worse is, I could figure out which one because I didn't think anyone ever actually interacted with the other person, the goat man. The girl kept praying to Jesus, and we're all sitting outside. Eventually, we get big-ass sticks and go back into the cabin, but there's nobody in there. We count again, and there's 11 people. We go back into the trailer and lock the door. We explain what the heck happened, and the girl says that she realized too that when she was about to say something, the person sitting next to her had grabbed her leg hard and leaned over towards her and said something that she couldn't understand. So we're pretty scared as F as we huddled together, and I fell asleep. When I wake up, the sun is just coming up, and half of the people are asleep and the other half are packing our crap up. We all want to walk back home, but like four people just want to stay until the sun is all the way up. And some people think we're just effing around and still want to stay at the trailers. I just want to get the F out of the woods. The girl's name was Kiera, the one that the goat man had touched. Anyways, I asked her if she really thinks it was something bad, and she says that she just wants to go home and doesn't want to be out in the woods alone for another night. So we decide to split up. The four that want to go can go, but I have to stay because I have the keys to the cabin. And it's my uncle's and I have to lock it up. I'm pretty pissed at this point, because I feel like people aren't taking this shit seriously. And I definitely don't want to be out in the woods for another night. I spent the rest of the day trying to convince the rest of the people, now 4 girls and 4 guys, to get the hell out of Dodge. Tanner leaves with them to go get a rifle and says he's going to be back. So there are just 7 of us left by 4 p.m. At around 5 p.m., he hasn't made it back yet, and we're getting extremely freaking antsy. And the only reason I stopped begging them to go back was because he went to get a gun. It's about 5:30 p.m. or so, when the one cousin who did stay said that it... When the one cousin that did stay says that the girl Kiera is outside. We all look outside, and sure enough, she's standing by the fire pit with her back to the cabin. I think to myself, if she was so frickin' scared, why the hell would she come back? And then I get this nasty feeling in my gut. Keep in mind, the whole time the coppery smell had been gone. Now I realize I could smell just a twinge of it. I say this to the rest of them, and everybody, and these are the people who wanted to stay in the frickin' woods after we had the dang goat man in our midst, start laughing at me, and asking if I set this up to scare them. I'm looking at them. I'm not frickin' bullshitting you at all right now. I ask them, why the hell would I play a prank like that? So one of the girls goes outside to get Kiera. She gets halfway to her and stops cold. Kiera starts heaving. I don't know how the F to describe it. Sort of like if someone with their back turned was laughing without actually making any sound. It was this fact that made me realize there was not a frickin' sound in the whole woods. It was dead silent. This was like later in September, so it was still fairly hot at the time. But it was super chilly some days, too. And you could usually hear big-ass geese honking or some kind of birds or squirrels chit-chatting. So, I step out of the door and tell her to come back into the frickin' trailer right now. She backs up into the trailer and we lock the door. We put down all the shades except one and put a guy there in a chair to watch her. She stands there for another 20 minutes or so. The guy turns to say that she's still there, and there's a huge frickin' bang on the door. We all jump up and scramble around in the living room of the trailer. The banging is super loud. So now my cousin is holding one of the girls, and the other two are kinda giggling with nervous laughter at me. And the other two guys are shitting bricks. Then we hear Tan. He's screaming, "Let me the F in! Stop frickin' playing!" So we go over to the door and open it, and he stumbles in with a rifle. There's nobody else outside. Evidently, he had walked up to the campsite. Nothing weird happened in the forest, but he had seen a girl. Mind you, he said it was not Kiera standing there. When he had gotten to the edge of the clearing, she had turned towards him with a slack-jawed look and just stared him down, slowly tracking him as he walked around the outside of the clearing towards the camp. He said that it wasn't till he was almost halfway to the trailer had he realized she was getting closer to him. She had started off by the fire, and without him even seeing her move, she had been turning, inching closer. He said he just ran the rest of the way back to the cabin thinking it would open. And when he got to the trailer door and it was locked, he turned and it was about half the distance to the door. He looked around the room and then got super pale. He pulls me to the side and whispers in my ear, "You know there's only 7 of us in here, right?" I get that feeling when your stomach drops to your nuts. It had been inside the trailer while we were sorting out and what was going on there. And then we all went outside to talk earlier in the day. It had just slipped right back in. We looked out the window, and there was nobody out there. So, we recount everyone, and then basically, I go over and ask everyone how many people there had been earlier. And everybody says 8. I say, well, how many are here now? They all do a head count, and then realize there are only now 7 people in the cabin. So Tan had brought back a couple boxes of ammo in his rifle, and he had told his dad that there was some kind of animal in the forest because he didn't think his dad would believe him if he said it was a goat man. He says that his cousin is supposed to be coming down in a few hours, and that in the morning we could go back to his place and his cousin will drive us home. Now I'm really frickin' terrified. Because at least feel better because we could be American and shoot the hell out of whatever it is if it comes back. But then my cousin gets into this huge argument with one of the girls because she thinks that I'm trying to be funny and prank them, and that she's getting really scared and that it's not funny. He keeps telling her I'm not that kind of person, and she says, well, how do we know that girl wasn't just Tanner in a wig? Or if it's really the Goatman? How do we know that this is the real Tanner and that the Goatman just didn't kill Tanner in the woods and take his gun? So we're getting into this huge argument about this, where me and Tanner like, we could seriously be in danger because at the very least, someone had been sneaking themselves into our frickin' trailer without us knowing and mingling with us at the worst. Something bad is in the forest effing with us. One of the girls is crying and saying that she wants to go right now. And we're trying to tell her we shouldn't because none of us are walking through the woods in the middle of the night. At this point, the sun is starting to go down and is just getting a little cloudy out. We ate something and turned on the radio for a while, but we really couldn't get a station out there with anything decent. So we turned it off at about the time that Tan's cousin showed up. He was like 19, I think. At this point, the sun was just barely over the horizon, and he had had one of those heavy-duty lantern flashlights with another rifle. He walks up to the trailer, and we whisper to Tan asking if he's sure that that's his cousin, and he says yes. The guy looks behind him and all around the camp, then walks in. He kind of glances at us, and we all look a little confused. He says, where's the other little buddy at? I figured she would meet up with me at the cabin. Is she a little slow or something? He also asked whether we had been cooking blood in the cabin, because it smelled like blood and hot pans all the way up the trail. We are all like frickin' nope. But we asked him what the hell he was talking about with the girl he saw. He had come down the same trail Tan had been using, and he had come up to one of you guys' buddies, standing in the middle of the trail looking at him slack-jawed. He had asked her a bunch of questions, but all she did was just look at him. Then she smiled at him, and he just kept walking. She couldn't seem to keep up with him, and kept lagging a little behind him. He said he asked her if she was hurt or something, and if she needed any help. But she had continued to stare. Eventually, he had been
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.
Walking and turned around a bend in the trail. But when he turned around and went to see if she was okay, the trail was empty. He assumed she had taken some kind of shortcut through the woods to our trailer. We tell him the whole story of what's been going on. I half expected him to say that we were full of crap, but he just listened and then sat down on the couches in the living room. Tanner's cousin gets back to the girl. He says when she kept trying to lag behind him, it had kinda weirded him the F out. So he tried to keep her in front of him, but no matter how slow he walked, she was just lagging a little behind. And that's when he smelled that nasty smell, and it got stronger as he stopped at the camp. Eventually, it got really strong. She had said something really low that he didn't catch. And when he had turned around, she was right up on him, and he stepped back from her. It was at this point he asked her if she was okay, and if she wasn't, him to carry her back the rest of the way, and she just kept staring. He said he reached out for her, as if to grab her on the shoulder, but he must have misjudged the distance, because she was off to the side of where he had put his hand, like she had moved while he was looking dead at her. So at this point, we know this crap's real, unless Tan is playing a joke, which we could tell he's not because he's almost pissing his pants. So they load up their rifles, we eat some more, and we kinda just sit around until about 11 p.m. To this frickin' day, every time I think about this, I really pray to God that there's some huge prank that my cousins played on me and just never revealed it so I could crap the rest of my life. At around 11, the stink of copper turns into an actual nasty, gross, blood-like smell, like cooking blood and singed hair. Tan and his cousin Reese get up instantly and grab their rifles. There's a half-knocking, half-clawing at the door, and I crap you not, there's this voice. And it sounds like when you see those YouTube cats and dogs when the owners teach them how to talk. It says in this taltine, weirdly toned voice,
"Let me in. Stop frickin' playing."
It made my nuts creep up against my body, and one of the girls starts crying and calling on Jesus. It was so frickin' obvious it wasn't a person talking. It didn't have the right cadence. And that's some crap that I never realized until that moment. But all the people had a certain cadence when they talk, no matter what language. All people have a certain kind of rhythm to talking. This shit didn't have any kind of cadence or rhythm. One of those YouTube cats, that's what the F it sounded like outside the door. So now, I'm in full-on terror mode. We keep yelling outside. "Who is it? Stop messing around, man!" And it just keeps saying, "In," or "Let me in," for almost 15 minutes. That's how it sounded like almost, the cats. Just not funny. Sorry for being on a tangent. But if you can't imagine how this crap sounded, then you can't imagine how messed up this whole situation was. So then the smell goes away for a while, and for the next hour or so, you could hear someone basically creeping around in the woods and crap. Every couple of minutes, it comes back into the door and says something. Finally, when the smell fades away, it's around 2 a.m. right now, Reese says, "Man, F this," and opens the door and walks outside with his rifle. He fires a shot into the air and says something to the effect of, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away!" He fires 2 more times, and then from the woods right against the river across from the trailer. It sounds like something is slowly gibbering and hooting. Then it starts screaming, and it sounds almost like a woman and a cat in a bag screaming together. Like I seriously had never heard any crap like that, and you could hear the brush over that way start to shake. Reese fires over into the tree line and then starts backing into the trailer. We lock the door, and we could hear this crap keening and screaming. Reese says something had came out of the bushes, super low to the ground and crawling towards the cabin. He had shot at it. Pretty much, that was how the rest of the night went. It was literally screaming constantly for the next 2 hours, and we could hear crap moving out into the tree line. But it never came back up to the cabin until everyone had finally fallen asleep. Tan had been sitting in the chair watching the door with his rifle. Nobody else heard or saw this, and he told me 2 days later after the whole thing was over. He said he had been nodding off after the screaming and noises finally stopped, and he had been almost asleep when he saw someone come out of the bathroom and laid down in the middle of the floor to go to sleep. He just assumed it was one of us, and he had nodded off. Then he said he kind of realized something was wrong, and while pretending to be sleeping, he counted us. There were 9 people in the cabin. He basically didn't want to try to shoot at the frickin' thing in the cabin and have it kill us all then and there, or have Reese wake up and start shooting and then we all kill ourselves. So he just stayed awake all night and pretended to be asleep. He said sometimes it would stand up and kind of do this weird jittery thing, or heave in like it was laughing, but then it would lay back down. The story closes pretty weak, because from my perspective, nothing happened. We woke up, and I noticed that Tan was a little jittery, and that he was avoiding looking at all of us. But we ate some breakfast, packed up, and started walking to his house. He stayed last in the cabin and said he'd lock up and bring me my uncle's keys to start walking and he would just catch up, which I didn't really want to frickin' do. We got a little bit up the path, and when he came running up, basically we just jogged back to his house. His cousin took us home. There was a window in the bathroom. Tan had gone back to lock up and looked in there. We were too stupid to lock a screenless window. The window was messed up when he went in there. I'm guessing it had been doing that all along, waiting for us to fall asleep or slip up and then get in among us. It walked with us all the dang way back to his house, and then he said it lagged to the back of the group and looked him dead in the eyes before walking into the woods.